is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others by staying current on all vaccines, including respiratory virus vaccines. Visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM to learn more. Here's the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, with this week's Talking Tigers podcast.
He is one of a handful of folks to be a part of two unbeaten teams in Auburn football history. Gene Chizik was the Tigers head coach on the 2010 national champions. He was also the defensive coordinator for the 2004 unbeaten SEC champions. Auburn's defense held opponents to 11 points per game that season. The Tigers beat Tennessee for the second time that season in the SEC championship game, Auburn's first SEC title since 1989. Gene Chizik is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health. Welcome into the Talking Tigers podcast. We continue our series as we look back 20 years ago to Auburn's 2004 SEC undefeated champions. And we're joined now by the man who, of course, was Auburn's head coach in 2010, another of Auburn's undefeated teams, but he was the defensive coordinator for Auburn in 2004. Gene Chizik, glad to have you here today. War Eagle.
Andy, it's great to be here. War Eagle, and especially when you're looking at so many great memories.
Yeah. Before we get into this, I know folks are curious as to what you're up to after a long, long coaching career now.
Well, a lot of traveling.
Good for you.
A lot of me and my wife time, since we're empty nesters. But just really, Andy, just enjoying life, enjoying the fruits of our labor, meaning my family, and I've got all my kids out of the house, so we're just enjoying life, enjoying a football season for the first time in probably 50 plus years where I haven't either been playing, coaching, or doing TV, but it's been amazing.
What is that like to have that freedom during a football season?
It's different.
Yeah.
It's definitely different. You know, you look at things with a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
You kind of see things sometimes that maybe you didn't see because you were in the weeds. But it's been really neat. It's been a great, relaxing fall so far. We've enjoyed it. And I enjoy Saturdays. I enjoyed flipping back and forth to watch different games and different things that are happening. But it's definitely new, and it's definitely different.
For someone that has been, as you said, as a player and as a coach, and then in the studios, do you look at games a little bit different now?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you remove yourself from the clutter, I call it, right? The clutter of things that happen on game day. It's amazing when you look back and you watch things from a different set of lenses, how clear some things are. You know, when you're coaching, things happen fast and you have to make decisions in a split second. Things aren't necessarily always so clear at that moment. But when you're sitting back on the couch and you got a plate of nachos,
good,
it's a little bit easier. And I've noticed that. Definitely a unique perspective, but have really enjoyed it.
Good. When you look back at that 04 season, and you were defensive coordinator under Tommy Tuberville at that point, what's the first thing that comes to your mind about that 04 team?
The incredible players. You know, everything, Andy, you know, I've had a chance and been very blessed to be on, you know, three undefeated teams within about 6 years. And I think the unique common denominator with all those teams, although all those teams are different, it's a unique blend of incredible players that have incredible leadership, that have this incredible will not to lose. You know, there's a fine line every week between winning and losing, and to do it in an undefeated fashion is so hard. And I think people really miss that. I think they don't understand how incredibly hard that is. But this group of young men in 2004, on offense and defense, it was a team of players that were tied together by a bond. It was a team of brothers, hard-fighting soldiers, mm-hmm. if you will. They were just incredible. They were incredible to coach. They were incredible to be around. Such a fun group to be around, coaches and players. It was just one of those incredible, magical seasons that they're hard to come by.
It was in an era without the transfer portal and NIL. I wonder if we'll ever see teams like that with that many seniors on both sides of the ball that are part of an undefeated team like that 04 Auburn team was.
I think those days are going to be hard to have. Those teams are going to be hard to come by, I guess you could say. This was a team that grew a lot in the 3 years I was there. I came in 2002. It was a lot of the same guys. but it was a completely different mindset. They had been through a lot. They had seen a lot of things happen, been through a lot of adversity, had a good amount of success, had some failure, but they grew together. They grew up together from 18 to 21 and 22 years old. They had an incredible bond, but they had an incredible allegiance to each other. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter, the offensive guys were best friends with the defensive guys. Everybody had a bond. It was a common bond. Those days are probably few and far between. Maybe somebody will get it, but with the exiting and the entering of so many players nowadays, when they don't want to be there, they don't want to stay, these type of teams are unique. And I look back on my career and I realize how blessed I am to be a part of a team like 2004, because they're a dinosaur. They're very unique and a unicorn, and I was blessed to be a part of it.
Anytime I've talked with someone either on that staff or one of those players that were around Auburn in 2003 and 2004, when they talk about the 2004 team, they start with 2003. However, because of the expectations going into that season, the turmoil that came through that season, and at the end and all of the speculation, and then that win against Alabama and then that win in the bowl game seemed to propel that squad into the 2004 team. Do you see it
100%. That way? I think as human beings, we're all a product of our past. We're all a product of our experiences. What this team experienced in 2003, from the highs at the beginning to the lows at certain points, to the lows in the middle, to kind of resurrecting themselves at the end of the year, with a huge win against Wisconsin in the bowl game, who was a very good football team, beating Alabama here at home when Cadillac took the first handoff and went 80 yards for a touchdown. This team fought. They fought for themselves. They fought for each other. That was the beginning, in my opinion, looking back. That was the beginning of them setting their jaw for 2004 and saying all the things that we experienced adversity-wise, it's not happening again. Mm-hmm. And they took that into the season, starting with a shutout in 2004 in the very first game of the year, and they never looked back.
As you mentioned, you were part of three undefeated teams, including two national championships in your career. Where does that defense, that 2004 defense, rank? Because that team was good from the front to the secondary, and it had some youth. I mean, Will Herring was just a sophomore as a starter, but it had plenty of veterans on that team, from guys up front, Junior Rose Green, who was kind of an unsung hero most of that season, small linebackers that were outstanding leaders. Where does that defense rank in your career?
One of the best I've ever been around, to be honest with you. And if you go back and look, and I can't remember exactly what game it was, we didn't give up a rushing touchdown till I think game 8 or 9 in the season. And in this league, that's unheard of. It was a very unique blend of, at every level of the defense, of incredible character guys. The defensive line is where it all started. We had some tough guys down there. And, you know, I hate to even mention names because I'll leave somebody out. But when you're looking at the Brett Edens of the world, you know, you're looking at the linebackers that we had with A.T. Mm-hmm. and Taurus Williams and Travis Williams, two undersized guys that you're never going to find two guys that play harder than that. To the secondary with the Thorpe Award winner with Carlos Rogers, who is arguably the best DB in the country, and the Junior Rose Greens of the world, who had an incredible impact on our defense. At every level, there was just those guys. Jay Ratliff, let's not forget about the Jay Ratliffs who we moved. Mm-hmm. I called him in before the season, said, I'd like to move you inside. And he was like, I don't know about that one, coach. I'm not sure. And he ends up playing inside for the Dallas Cowboys for a bunch of years. You had very unselfish guys that were willing to do whatever we asked them to do. And they played as good together as a unit as any defense I've ever been around in 30-plus years of doing it.
LSU is one of the games that a lot of folks talk about that season. And it was a low-scoring slugfest. I think if you take a look at the amount of guys on both sidelines, not only coaches that became head coaches, but guys that ended up in the NFL, it's a high number that day. Jason Campbell sat in that chair on this podcast and said it's the most physical football game he's ever been around at any level. What are your memories? What are your thoughts about that win against LSU that day?
I think if people forget this, that was the week that Hurricane Ivan rolled through. And I was scared to death, Andy, because our practice consisted of walking through on chairs in a hotel because they didn't let us practice that week.
Right.
I think we practiced a little bit on Tuesday, and then they shut everything down. We went to a hotel.
Shut down the campus.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so we didn't get to practice. So I'm sitting there on Friday at a walkthrough going, we haven't even practiced. And LSU, in the meantime, didn't miss a practice. But we go into that game, and we play as physical a game on defense. I couldn't be more proud of the way our guys defensively delivered that day. All the way down to the last drive, if you remember Brett Eden's hit on the quarterback, vicious, brutal hit on the quarterback. It was as physical as I've seen. It was as physical as I've ever been around. And it was funny because I remember in the locker room, a couple of players coming up and putting their arm around me afterward and said, hey, coach, I guess practice is pretty overrated. But it was an incredible memory.
Yeah. Auburn goes to Tennessee that year. Tennessee is easily favored in that game. It's a national television audience. It's a nighttime game, well over 100,000 in Tennessee. Game day is there. Charles Barkley is the only one that picks Auburn to win that game. I've heard some stories from others about what you said in the pregame. Will Herring told us, you told that defense, I can't wait to watch you guys tonight against Tennessee. What was it? What gave you that confidence going into that game when so many thought that the Vols were going to win that night?
I think we had enough of a sample size at that point where I really realized what we had. I knew what we had character-wise. I knew what we had from a mental standpoint in terms of how determined these guys were. I knew what we had as a team defense. I just knew, and I looked at them. I saw them in the hotel. I watched them very closely on Friday. They were as locked in as I've ever seen. They were excited about playing. And there was something in my spirit that said, you know what? Many times on a Friday night and a Saturday, I'm nervous. You're just nervous. It comes with the job. I wasn't nervous that day.
How many times did that happen in your career?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot. But I watched these guys, and they had something in their spirit. They had something in their demeanor. And I just told them, I said, tonight is going to be your greatest night. Hmm. And I said, I can't wait to watch you play.
Yeah.
And from the opening whistle till we closed that thing down, they did not disappoint.
That was the weekend that I heard the term hard-fighting soldiers for the first time. I think Brother Chet, in one of his sermons or whatever you want to call it, talks with the team, he talked about soldiers. And as I recall, that was one of the first times that the Auburn team, with Coach Tubbs out in front, walked out to the field arm in arm, arm linked up, going out that night. It was inspiring to watch that. I was on the sideline. Of course, Rod was calling that game. And then I was in the locker room postgame for that game. And there was nobody surprised in that locker room what happened that night. Others may have been. That team was not surprised in the least at what happened on that field that night.
No, and you know, Andy, you look back on these things, and there's always defining moments to seasons, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times there's certain moments you can kind of earmark where you say, that's where I think it got different. That's where it changed. Because going into that game, I felt like we knew we had a good football team. Chet presented the hard-fighting soldier sermon, if you will, the night before. And let me tell you, in those prayer meetings, it was packed. There was standing room only. Mm. When you come into the room late now, you're not going to get a seat.
Mm.
And he delivered that on that night. And when Tommy walked out with those guys linked up, it was a business trip. And they were soldiers. And they were soldiers fighting for each other. So I think that was a defining moment, especially when you walk into an environment where, number one, everybody thinks you're going to lose. Number two, where there's essentially everybody against you. But there's this deep-rooted confidence and belief that I got my brothers with me right here. And these soldiers aren't going to die on this field.
Were you on the field or in the press box?
I was in the press box.
You then had a pretty good view, although I'm sure you're concentrating on the field, of watching the Tennessee fans leave that ballpark basically by halftime.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yes, it was.
It was a beautiful thing. I mean, I've never seen it. And, you know, of course, nobody saw it coming. And when they started emptying out at halftime, before I started coming down for halftime,
yeah,
I was thinking maybe they were going to get something to eat or drink and hoping things changed when they got back.
Right.
But when I got back up to that press box, they weren't going down to get something to eat or drink.
Right.
They were going to their cars.
It's a great day to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccination during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It is crucial that we take the steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are up to date on all recommended vaccines, including respiratory virus vaccines. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
You were part of an interesting coaching staff because other than basically the coordinators on that staff stayed together, had been together. Many of them had been together at Ole Miss and came with Coach Tubbs here and stayed here. And some went with him elsewhere. But you were the new guy in 02. What was that dynamic like for you?
It was interesting. I was the new guy on the staff. 2002 was me as the defensive coordinator and Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator, and essentially we were the only two new guys. Everybody else had been with Tommy for quite a bit. I felt very welcomed. It was an incredible staff, like it was players. Joe Witt was a huge part of me feeling comfortable with, you know, coming in here and him. You know, Joe was the old veteran. He'd been around here. He understood Auburn. He really educated me a lot on this place, which is one of the reasons I totally fell in love with it, because I didn't necessarily understand it from the outside coming in. You have to be a part of it to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big part and a big reason I did understand Auburn. So guys like Joe Witt that took me under their wing, you know, guys like Eddie Grand who were great to me and took me under, you know, his wing when, you know, I'd come here and he had been with Tommy for a long time. There was some growth from 2002 to 2004, getting to know those guys. But by 2004, I wasn't the rookie anymore. I felt, you know, very comfortable and I felt like I was in a very good place. So great coaching staff. Tommy did a great job of leading everybody. From a coaching standpoint, as great of a coaching staff as it was players.
Terry Price, we lost Terry Price recently. What did he mean to that staff on and off the field and to that team on and off the field?
Terry Price is an incredible human being. We lost a great one when Terry passed away. The players loved him. The coaches loved him. He was a tough, hard-nosed guy on the field now. He got everything out of those players he could get. I mean, there wasn't a down off. He'd chase them around the field right now if they took a down off. And they respected that and they loved that because Terry played it at its highest level as well. But he coached hard. He played hard off the field, meaning he loved his cooking out and he loved his, you know, grilling out and all those things. He loved the players off the field as hard as he was with them on the field. He loved them just as hard off. Terry was just an incredible human being who had great compassion, really funny, very humorous, always had a joke to have, you know, when we needed to lighten the moment a little bit, he was always there to deliver that. But he was an incredible human being, and his wife and kids were incredible as well.
I have a lot of stories about that 04 team. That 04 team is one of my all-time favorite teams in any sport that I've ever covered at Auburn. And one of my favorite memories, and I love to tell this story, and I hope you were in the locker room, I hope you had been able to make it down from the press box, was the Ole Miss game. And by that point, and it was still early in the season, that's when Auburn clinched the SEC West, was the Ole Miss game. And at some point, and I'm not certain who started it, but the Hard Fighting Soldiers song was sung in the locker room by the players. And I still get goosebumps when I think, because I was in the locker room getting ready to host the postgame interviews at that point. And that Ole Miss locker room's pretty cramped. We're all together.
Oh, yeah. There's no room.
And just listening to those guys that day, that was, it's one of my favorite stories about that team. And it further solidified the oneness of that squad? Was that post-game celebration of singing hard-fighting soldiers that
day? Yeah, it was just a caption of the way they were with right. each other. And I don't remember who started it. I did walk in on it.
Okay.
I walked in on it from the press box because I was trying to get down there as fast as I could.
Sure.
Because we had a little time. We were going to win the game. We knew that. And it was a battle now. It was a battle. It was a hard battle there. But I got down there in time to literally walk in on that. And that scene, because I wasn't there to see who really started it. I didn't know if Chet started it. I didn't know who did it. But it was amazing right now. And it literally was a microcosm
right.
of what the entire year was all about, right? Togetherness, oneness. They're going to fight. They're gritty. They're tough. They're soldiers.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great summarization, if you will, of what that whole team was.
Did you feel going into the Georgia game here that that was Auburn's chance to move up into the polls into one of those top two spots? And when Auburn won that game as decisively as it did you believe that Auburn had done that coming out of the Georgia game that year?
I did. Number one, you're looking at the oldest rivalry in the South. Number two, you're looking at no matter what the records are, that's a battle. It's always going to be one of the most physically difficult game you're going to play all year. Most of those players were recruited by Georgia and Auburn alike. Mm-hmm. So when they chose one or the other. We had a great number of Georgia players on our roster. We had had a lot of success in Georgia. And that game just historically is a knockdown dragout. And we physically dominated that game from the beginning to the end. When you hold Georgia to 6 points and you physically run the football and dominate the line of scrimmage like our offensive line did on our way to a 24-6 win,
mm-hmm.
I think it's enough said. I think that you, in that moment, have justified yourself as one of the two best teams in the country. So I didn't see any reason why it wasn't going to happen, although it didn't.
Yeah, a lot of Auburn people believe the same thing.
Right.
By the time you face Tennessee again at the SEC championship game, it's become apparent that unless UCLA upsets USC, and that almost happened, mm-hmm. that Auburn would be left out of the national championship picture. With that said, that Tennessee game was different than the first game in Knoxville. That was a better Tennessee team, I thought, that you faced in Atlanta in December than the team that you faced earlier that season in Knoxville. Would yes, you agree?
100%. Yeah. They were a different football team, and you'd have to expect that, right, Andy? I mean, they go into the game right now as an improved football team all the way around, offensively and defensively. I remember specifically watching the film of them offensively. Tennessee's always going to be a physical bunch. But I remember thinking to myself, this is a different team offensively than we faced 6-7 weeks ago. That's number one. Number two, they went into the game with nothing to lose. They went in there loosey-goosey, and they were just playing, you know, and having fun. On the flip side, we were going in there feeling like we had to dominate the game from the beginning to the end if we would even have a chance.
Right.
We knew what was on the line with UCLA and USC. But we were thinking, what can we control? We have to beat these guys handily like we did before. And we can, but there was different kind of pressure on us. But it was a much improved football team. We obviously won the game, and it was a great win. It was a dogfight.
That was Auburn's first SEC championship since the 80s. I mean, that's how significant that game is, and it caps off a regular season undefeated squad. But by the time that game ends, you know, at that point. I've asked players how they dealt with the disappointment. How did the coaching staff deal with the disappointment of not getting the opportunity to be in the national championship game and yet knowing you got a big game coming in about a month and a really good opponent coming up in a month?
You know, as a coach, you learn to move on. It was extremely disappointing. We all were really kind of mystified that when you can go undefeated in this league and beat a team twice one in the regular season and one in a championship game, which we know is hard to beat any team twice. It's hard to reconcile in your mind
right.
that we're not playing in a national championship game. So for me, it was very hard to internalize. But in the same sense, you learn as a coach, good, bad, or indifferent, you got to move on because the next game is definitely the most important, and that's what you'll be judged by. So we were getting ready to play in the Sugar Bowl against a very good Virginia Tech team. And, you know, the mindset was we can't control those type of things. We can only control what our next performance will be. So we just kind of moved ahead. And I thought the players did a great job of really focusing in on that Sugar Bowl because they were very disappointed. And I knew that. You could see it. They wore it a little bit, probably maybe even a little bit more than the coaches, but I understand that. You know, the coach's mentality is we got to move on. The players are sitting there going, we've done everything you've asked us to do and more, and we're not in the show. And that's disappointing.
Is it hard to believe it's been 20 years?
Incredible. Because I can remember all of these things that you're talking about like they happened 6 weeks ago.
Right.
It's incredible. And, you know, I see a lot of these players around town, and, you know, I stay in touch with a good bit of them. It just seems like it was yesterday with all of them. But what great memories. 20 years ago seems like a year ago, and I'm sure that they kind of feel the exact same way.
Will you have the opportunity to be a part of the reunion?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What will that mean to get around that team? Hopefully some of those coaching, some of those staff members. It may be the first time you've seen some of these folks in quite some time.
It will be. There's a lot of these guys I have not seen in 20 years. Mm. I love being around the players. That's what always drove me. I love to be able to get the opportunity. I think it's November 2nd that we're doing it now. But I'm just so looking forward to seeing these guys and rekindling the relationships and talk to them about great times. And they're all grown up now. They've all got families and kids and businesses and things of that nature. So I'm really looking forward to the weekend.
Well, you have the opportunity this year. You're not going to have to miss a game
exactly.
or a broadcast or something. You have that chance.
Yes. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, when I heard about it, that we were doing it made complete sense. First thing I thought about is rekindling, you know, so many great relationships with those players that were so special.
Can I ask you something just a little bit off subject here? And in this podcast, I talked to a lot of folks in various athletic teams, some that are not athletes, but are part of Auburn. I mean, you are here on two different coaching staffs. One is coordinator, one is the head coach. You have coached all over the eastern part of the United States. But you have made Auburn your home. Why?
People ask me that a lot.
Yeah.
When I came here in 2002, my kids were young, and I felt out of all the places I had been, even up to that point, and this was probably my fifth or sixth stop back then, I felt like the people, I felt like the community, I felt like everything that I wanted when I became a grown-up and decided to settle down after the crazy 30-something years in the profession, it had everything I wanted, starting with the people. The community is amazing. The spirit that surrounds this university, the student body, you know, they say the spirit that is not afraid. It's the spirit. It's the spirit of the place. I noticed it when I came here. I sent two of my children here, glad to spend the money to do it. Because when I left in 2004 to go to the University of Texas, I looked at my wife and I said, I don't know where we'll be when our kids get old enough to go to college, but this is where I want them. That's a true story.
Yeah.
It's the place. It's the people. It's special. I love being around town. I love living here. We've had a house. I want to say this is probably year 17 or 18 that we've had a house in Auburn nonstop.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when I took other coaching opportunities, I never sold my house.
Yeah.
So coming back here was home. And when I talk to people and, you know, I'm coaching at another school, someplace, wherever, you know, I'll say, well, I'm going to go back home for the weekend. Where's home? Well, it's Auburn. And they go, makes sense. Yeah. So I've just always felt that way.
We're glad to have you here.
Awesome.
Thank you. Enjoy the reunion. Enjoy that opportunity to be with those men that day.
Thank you, Andy, and thank you for having me on.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
For Gene Chizik and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.